We'll read tonight Luke chapter 5, which is the parallel passage, one of them at least, to the text that we are going to consider this evening from Mark chapter 1. Luke chapter 5, we'll take the time and read the entire chapter tonight, and then go back to Mark and read the text for the sermon. So let's read this chapter together, God's Word in Luke 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came to hear him and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before him, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with him. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And when they said unto him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink?" And he said unto them, "Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and they shall then fast in those days." And he spake also a parable unto them, "No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better." Let's turn now to Mark chapter 1. I'd like to read the 6 verses that make up the text. We read an account of it in the middle of Luke 5, but let's read it one more time from Mark 1, verses 40 through 45. 40 through 45. "And there came a leper to him," to Jesus, "beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, 'If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, 'I will, be thou clean.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, 'See that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.' But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sermon tonight is going to be on one miracle of healing. This is not the first time in our series on Mark that we have considered Jesus' work to heal. We saw this last time when we took note of Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. This is not the first time that we have considered a great and mighty miracle of Jesus. We saw before that the great work of Jesus to cast out an unclean spirit. This is the first time that we are going to spend an entire sermon on one miracle of healing. Jesus, in this text, healing a leper. In light of that, it's good at the introduction to face a question that we haven't faced directly yet in our series on Mark. And I can put it in the form of a question, and the question is, why does the Holy Spirit inspire Mark, and with Mark, the other gospel writers, to include the great miracles of healing that Jesus performed? To put the question differently, how is it that we are to interpret, understand, and then apply to us as Christians today these great works of Jesus in healing men of diseases? And the answer to that question is that the Holy Spirit gives us these miracles of healing in the Scriptures in order to teach us about the wonder of the gospel of grace. Always, the works of Jesus, especially his works of healing, are meant by the Holy Spirit, and meant by Jesus even at the time that he did this, to teach us about why he came. He came as the Savior who by grace saves from sin and guilt and death. And the particular healings, especially those that have fuller accounts as this one does and as others will, which we will consider throughout the gospel according to Mark, are meant not just to teach us sometimes generally about the wonder of grace in Jesus Christ, but are meant to teach us about a particular aspect of that saving grace of God in Jesus. You learn from the disease itself or from the manner in which Jesus heals a particular glorying, a particular aspect of God's great work of grace in Jesus. And so that's what we want to do tonight. What we want to do tonight, as we just focus on this miracle of healing, is see what this particular idea teaches us, that Jesus heals a man with leprosy. And we will learn tonight the wonder of who Jesus is. In the end, these miracles of healing, to go back to the very beginning of the gospel, which we have done repeatedly and we will keep doing, go right back to the opening verse, the beginning of the gospel of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This healing is a manifestation of the gospel of grace in Christ. And we'll see the particular application of that in light of this man being a leper. So let's consider this tonight under the theme, Jesus heals the leper. Let's notice in the first place the disease, and the second place the healing, and then in the third place, the aftermath. The disease, the healing, and the aftermath. The passage does not tell us directly where this took place. Where we ended last time was Jesus telling the disciples that he would go forth and preach in the other towns of Galilee. You'll recall from last time that Peter and the other disciples found Jesus when he was praying early in the morning, and they wanted nothing but to take Jesus and go to the crowds in Capernaum and resume what he had begun the previous night of healing the people of their diseases and casting out demons. And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to do that. We're going to go to the other towns because I came to preach. And then immediately after that, we have this record of Jesus healing the leper. And so we don't know exactly where this took place, likely in one of those other towns. It's not important to know where it precisely took place. Mark includes this because the healing of a leper in a powerful way teaches us about the gospel of grace. And Jesus himself would often point out the significance of healing lepers. For example, when he sent out the disciples, he said, I'm sending you out to preach, to heal the lepers, and to heal others with diseases. And the point with that is he singles out in a special way at times the healing of a leper, because there is special significance to what this means. What we have in front of us, again, like is often the case, is quite straightforward. What we read here is that a leper comes to Jesus. We read in the text, verse 40, A leper came to him. So we have the simple activity of coming to Jesus, beseeching him, that is, entreating him to do something, kneeling down in humility in front of Jesus. We can add a parallel passage, Matthew, which says, and worshiped him. And then it says, he spoke to him. And the words that he spoke was, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Very simply stated here, coming to him, beseeching him, kneeling in front of him, worshiping him, and speaking to him. Now, when we read that, it's likely the case that this does not strike us as being remarkable or extraordinary in any way. That may be the case. And if that is the case, that is likely because we are reading this 2,000 years removed from Jewish life, Jewish culture, and removed from experiencing lepers in our lives. It's likely the case that none of us has ever seen a man afflicted with the disease of leprosy, much less in the day in which this took place. The simple fact is, beloved, that what we read in that opening verse is remarkable, and it is extraordinary. And to put it bluntly, it shouldn't have happened. This man had no business doing what he did in coming to Jesus, coming very closely to Jesus, in close proximity to Jesus, in kneeling down before him and saying what he did to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has everything to do with the disease that he had. He was a leper. And as a leper, what that meant for him was a life of staying away from people. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, I'm not going to read it right now, lays out the law for the leper. And we're familiar with the law for the leper. The law for the leper was that when he would be near people, he had the responsibility to cry out to them, unclean, unclean. That's Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, a word that still applied to this leper in Jesus' day. And so to put it bluntly, this guy had no reason to do what he did. Instead of seeing people in light of the disease that he had and saying, unclean, unclean, stay away, stay away, we read in the text that he knows who Jesus is, and he goes directly to Jesus in the closest proximity to Jesus, bows in front of him, and says to the Lord Jesus Christ, if thou wilt, thou canst make us, me rather, clean. What is the explanation for that, beloved? The explanation for that is that God worked in his heart. God worked in his heart so that he understood what he had and understood what Jesus could do for him. He says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt, if it's your desire to do this, that's how he starts it. But he says definitively, thou canst do this. He knew what Jesus could do. And he comes before him in humility, bowing down, the parallel passage saying, worshiping him, and seeks a cleansing as it is only found in Jesus. What explains that? What explains that is that the Lord God had worked something in this man's heart, which is always the case. When a man or woman knows the spiritual disease that they have and goes to Jesus in humility, worshiping him, knowing that that Jesus is the only one that can make me clean, Anytime a man, a woman, a child does that spiritually, the explanation for that only is the work of God in that one to open their eyes to what they have and to open their eyes to who Jesus is and to work in them the desire and the seeking of a cleansing found in Jesus Christ alone. We need to develop in this first point of the sermon what the disease of leprosy is and what the disease of leprosy points to. Leprosy in Jesus' day would have been a general term to refer to many different skin diseases. Literally, the word leper refers to scaly. But it's generally understood that when we have a man like this in the text, it was a particularly debilitating form of leprosy, a skin disease that manifested itself outwardly but also ravaged somebody inwardly. It's likely the case that this was a disease which actually shut off the pain sensors in one's body. And when the pain sensors in one's body are completely shut off, the effect of that is that the body becomes mangled and all of the natural defenses that normally come with the sensation of pain in order to heal are gone. And so what takes place both from the inward and outward is the ravaging and the destruction of the body. It was an absolutely awful disease to have. It was awful for several reasons. It was awful simply because of what it is. Leprosy was a condition and a disease that would invade and pervade the entire body, outwardly and inwardly. It was awful because of what its effects were. The effects of having leprosy was utter misery physically. When this was your lot in life, to have leprosy, it was a painful physical experience day in and day out. Painful even though what I just described, because the body is ultimately being ravaged and destroyed. But what is more, leprosy was such an awful disease because of the effects it meant socially and emotionally. You have to try to appreciate this if you are a leper from a relational perspective. That if you are a leper, what that means is every time you're seeing somebody, you are crying out, unclean, unclean. Stay away from me. Stay away from me. Don't be near me. Don't come near me. And your life was lived with really the humiliation of being ostracized from everyone and anything of a social nature. It was a terrible effect of leprosy. It was the misery of isolation and separation from others, experienced in a very real way, day in and day out. The point is that leprosy, from every perspective, was an absolutely awful, miserable disease. And for what he likely had, no cure. So that in addition to the misery of having the disease physically, the misery of the separation and ostracization from people, is the reality that it would lead to death. It really was a living death. They were alive, but they were dying, and ultimately the leper would be destroyed and he would die. In every regard, awful to be a leper. Which leads us, of course, to say, what is this all about for you and me today? What is this all about as it pertains to the spiritual realities of who we are and who God is and who Jesus is? And beloved, if we do not understand this point, if you do not understand this point that we're going to make right now personally, you do not understand who Jesus is, and you do not understand what the gospel is all about. Because when you hear about the leper, do you see yourself in that leper? That's the question. Do you see the leper as a mirror of who you are? And do I see the leper as a mirror of who I am? Not as a mirror about who someone else is, but that when I read about the leper in Mark chapter 1, and when I think about leprosy and what it is showing me in a crystal clear manner, this is who I am, and this is what my need is. When it comes to the scriptures, and when it comes to a leper, it's very clear, beloved, what leprosy is a picture of. Leprosy is a picture of our sin. We need to add to that more specifically what part of our sin leprosy is a picture of. There is the guilt of sin on the one hand, and there is the corruption and the pollution of sin on the other hand. And it's the latter that leprosy especially points to. It points to the sin and corruption and pollution that is in us, that is invading us and pervading throughout who we are. Consider how leprosy and that corruption and pollution of sin are similar. Sin, like leprosy, invades the whole of who we are by nature. The corruption that is within us touches every fabric of our being. Our minds, our wills, our desires, our thoughts, our words, our actions. Who we are in our totality by nature is invaded by the reality of our corruption and sinfulness. Sin, like leprosy, develops and grows. One of the terrible realities of having leprosy in Jesus' day is exactly that, that it starts in a certain place, and we can understand this from the cancers of today, that it's in one place and it just continually grows and it sprouts and it develops and it gets worse and worse and worse. So that sin, as it is a corrupting power and pollution within us, if not checked, becomes all the stronger and greater in one's life. Sin, like leprosy, is ultimately that which leads to death. That outside of the Lord Jesus, there is no cure. It cannot be found, but will ultimately lead to eternal, everlasting death. And sin, like leprosy, is that which ultimately brings about the greatest misery and suffering. And the misery and suffering of sin is that it separates, it isolates, and ultimately it separates and isolates from the one to have fellowship with his life, God Himself. When we see this leper, beloved, we need to see us. We need to see who we are as sinners. And we need to realize in the knowledge of that corrupting, influencing power of sin in us that we need the Lord Jesus to cleanse us. That in seeing the leper as a mirror of who we are, it leads us directly to where the leper was led to, which was right in front of the only one in whom there is cleansing, the Lord Jesus. So that in the knowledge of that sin within, We are led tonight to see the healing that is found in Jesus Christ alone. The danger tonight, beloved, is that we don't see the leprosy of sin in us. That's where the reality doesn't match the picture. When a leper was a leper, he always knew, "I'm a leper." It was unavoidable. It was unmistakable. He looked at himself and he knew, "I'm a leper." And everyone looked at him and they knew he's a leper. Clear as can be. But the deceitfulness of sin for us today is that one doesn't see it. That's always the deceitfulness of sin on one side and the temptation of the devil on one side, and that is to tempt us to put the blinders on so that tonight we're very easily and quickly able to look at somebody else and see the leprosy in them, but we don't see it in ourselves, or we're not willing to see it in ourselves, or we don't want to see it in ourselves, and we're completely blind to it. That's a temptation on one side, and the deceitfulness of sin is real in this regard, so that we hear this and we say, "I don't need to hear this. This doesn't apply to me." May that not be the case among us tonight, but that truly the leper is the mirror that shows us the corrupting influence of sin within. But may we not go to the extreme on the other side either. Because the deceitfulness of sin and the lie of the devil to us, if it's not over there to be blind to it, over here is to see it and to see how bad it is, to see how invading it is, to see how ugly it is, and to say, "There's no hope. There's no hope that I, the leper, can be cleansed for the disease that is within me. I cannot be healed. It's impossible." To take what would have been the perspective of many lepers, "There's no way that anybody could grant a healing for me." This is a danger. And this is a danger as well. We pray that God shows us our leprosy, not to the end that we say, "I can't be healed," but to this end, so that in humility we are brought before Jesus on our knees, worshiping Him and saying, "You alone are the one who can cleanse me." And that's the message of grace tonight for us who are sinners. That there is a cleansing, a healing, as it is found in Jesus Christ alone. This is what we read about that with regard to what Jesus did. We read in verse 41, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith to him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." In the healing that Jesus performs here, let's take note of four things. Let's take note, number one, of Jesus' heart. Number two, of Jesus' touch. Number three, of Jesus' word. And number four, of Jesus' power. Let's take note, in the first place, of Jesus' heart. And Jesus, moved with compassion. That's the heart of the Savior right there. Moved with compassion. A deep-seated mercy that he had upon this leper in his need. A deep-seated pity that he had upon this man in his suffering. A deep-seated desire to exercise his power to lift him up out of the misery that he was experiencing as a leper. Deep-seated That's the language that I repeatedly use, because the word compassion there refers ultimately to the gut, to that which is deep within someone. Literally, you could say that this is saying he was moved in his inner being, and moved in his inner being, he does what he does and says what he says. See in this the heart of the Savior, a heart of compassion upon a man in misery because of what he was experiencing in his leprosy. In the second place, we take note of Jesus' touch. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. Now, we said earlier in the sermon that it would have been utterly remarkable and utterly extraordinary for the leper himself to go in the closest proximity to Jesus, when he should have been crying out, "Unclean, unclean, stay away, stay away." It's remarkable that he goes right there in front of him. Well, this is even more remarkable. And this is even more extraordinary, that the Lord Jesus Christ, and the passage emphasizes this, the Holy Spirit is drawing attention to this, he stretches out his arm, making a point of it. See this. Stretch out his arm and touches him. And literally there, it takes a hold of him. We often read about the touch of Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. We saw that last time in the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, that he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and we drew some significance from that. It's even more significant here, exactly because of the disease that this man had. If it was remarkable and extraordinary for the leper to come even close to him, it was even more extraordinary and more remarkable that the Lord Jesus Christ, who could have just spoken to him and it would have been completely healed, could have stayed from a distance and healed him, chose not to do that, but chose to, with the leper, stretch out that hand and actually physically touch him. It says something about Jesus. What it says about Jesus is that that heart of compassion that we just talked about, he wanted that leper to know, to feel, and to experience. Think about this from the perspective of the leper. All his life long, unclean, unclean. All his life long, everybody staying away from him. All his life long, hardly being in the same room as people. And here's Jesus, who touches him, lays his hand upon him. Something that this man would have never experienced. And in that act, the Lord Jesus showing the compassion that he has upon this man in his need. Follow that with Jesus' word. The word of Jesus is, "I will, be thou clean." Jesus' word parallels perfectly the leper's word. The leper started with, "If thou wilt." And Jesus responds to that and he says, "I will." And what a blessed "I will" that is. It is my desire. It is my determination to cleanse you and to heal you. And the second part then is, "Be thou clean." And that parallels what the leper said when he said, "Thou canst make me clean." With the touch and with the word, "Be thou clean," we see in the fourth place the evidence of Jesus' power. And the power is verse 42. "And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." The power of Jesus' touch and the power of Jesus' word so that immediately and completely the leprosy that this man had was gone. It wasn't take a pill, let time go on, and it will dissipate. But it was a word and a touch, and it was gone. You can hardly imagine what that would have been like. And we're going to say that repeatedly as we work our way through these gospel accounts. We could understand it last time with Peter's mother-in-law of fever. But how much more with this? Ravaged by this disease, all of his life long, and in a moment, through a word and a touch, coming from a heart of compassion, this man is cleansed. Therein lies the power of Jesus Christ. People of God, when we consider this healing of Jesus under those four points, understand that every single one of them reveals to us the good news of why Jesus came for you and me and all of his people. Go through all four of them with me now. Jesus' heart. Know this, beloved. This is the heart of Jesus for you in your sin and in your misery. And as you know and experience the filthiness and the pollution and the corruption that still clings to you, this is a word, beloved, still for us today. Yes, it's a word that could be preached on a mission field to those who are in darkness and who are lost and who need the Lord Jesus and have not experienced his love and his goodness. And you can apply that to them. And if there are any here tonight who do not know Jesus, this is the word that speaks to you. But this is also the word that speaks to us as born-again Christians. And as born-again Christians who still know and experience the corruption and pollution of our sin, because it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away so long as that sinful nature still clings to us. And we still need to know tonight, as those who have a knowledge of that polluting sin in us, we need to know this is Jesus' compassion for us. Deep-seated. He's speaking to us tonight. He wants us to know something tonight. He wants us to know that his heart is a deep-seated mercy for those who are still experiencing the misery of sin as it clings to us and is in us. And what he says to us tonight in the message of the gospel is, I stretch out my arm and I touch you. I touch you, you who are a sinner, in order that you might know and experience my compassion to you. And this is the meaning of that touch of you. By that touch of you, Jesus is saying, I take it for myself. The passage that we read this morning, I believe, is exactly where this applies in the text tonight. We read this morning 2 Corinthians 5, for he who knew no sin became sin for us. That's the touch of Jesus. The touch of Jesus that says that leprosy, that filthiness, that pollution, that corruption, that which makes you disgusting before God, I touch and take upon myself. So that I'm not just a leper among lepers, but I become the leper. As I take it all, and I bear it all on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus touched that leper, he wanted that leper to know, this is my compassion for you. And beloved, when you hear tonight, He became sin. He became your leprosy. See in that. Experience in that, and I pray you do experience it. The tender compassion of Jesus that seeks to lift us up out of that man's misery and to cleanse us of all of our sins. Because with the heart and with the touch, there is the word. And that word is just as powerful to us tonight as it was to that leper that day that he said it. The word to us, as we have the knowledge of our sin and the need for Jesus, is I will. And not only I will, but I do. And he says to us tonight, be thou clean. And that, very simply, is the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And in that message tonight, there is a power. There was a power for that man that day. A power to take a physical disease and make it go away in a moment. And there is a power, a greater power. Truly a greater power, because the reality of our sin is worse than and greater than the sign of the leprosy. A greater power in the message of the gospel preached than the very healing of a physical disease. It's a power to us tonight. He says to us tonight, Jesus does, be thou clean. And this is the power of it. That by faith, as we receive Jesus Christ tonight, we know that all of it cleansed. That the Lord Jesus, as 1 John 1 verse 7 says, is the one who by His blood cleanses us of all of our sins. So that we know tonight, and I'm going to use this phrase probably repeatedly, in principle, all of that corruption, as we look to and see Christ as the one who says, be thou clean, that in principle, all of it is gone, because every bit of pollution that clings to me, He took upon Himself and bore the consequences of it on the cross, so that through that death, there is a covering for all that is unclean in me. In principle, I know tonight, and you need to know tonight, that in Jesus and His blood, there is always the perfect, complete cleansing of all that filthiness and disease of sin. But we need to say more than that. And we need to say more than that because there is something different about the spiritual reality than the physical sign that this leper had. In the physical sign for him in time and history, in that moment, he had leprosy and it was gone. Tonight, you hear the word of the gospel, be thou clean. And in principle, we know that there is a complete, perfect cleansing in the blood of Jesus for all of that corrupting sin within. But unlike that leper who didn't have leprosy anymore, in reality now, we still experience the remnants of sin, the power of sin, the corrupting influence of sin. That leprosy is still there in our experience because that old man is still with us on this side of the grave. And so we need to say something else about the power of the message of Jesus tonight, be thou clean. And the power of that gospel message is that that leprosy that still clings to us is not able. It's not able to overtake us. It's not able to grow and develop and permeate and destroy. It's not able to lead to that end, which would have been the case for this man physically, of death. The power of the message of the gospel tonight with regard to that indwelling sin is that as we look to Jesus and the gospel of grace, there is strength in that new man to put down, to fight against, to mortify, to keep in check that invading, corrupting influence of sin within. And that's a power of cleansing that we need every day and every week. Because we know that if we do not live out of the gospel of grace, if we do not hear and believe and receive and live out of what we hear week after week, which is the message of Jesus and the salvation in Him, if we for a time turn our back upon God and upon Jesus, what's going to happen with regard to that corrupting and polluting sin within? If one is a believer, it may develop, it may grow, it may permeate, and sometimes this happens. We take our eyes upon the Lord Jesus, off of the Lord Jesus. We live distant from God. We don't receive the message of the gospel in the preaching, and that sin overtakes us. And it's never stagnant. It never just stays there. It develops. It grows. It permeates. It brings darkness into our lives, all in the name of pleasure, all in the name of this is the good life. But in reality, it's going to bring misery and suffering and pain and hardship. And if there are any here tonight who are experiencing that, who are under the grips of sin, whatever sin that may be, a sexual sin or an addictive sin or something like that, or of any other nature, you know what I'm talking about, and you need to see it tonight. You need to realize what's happening. The leprosy is overtaking more and more, and may the message of the gospel stop it. Stop it tonight. As you see the only one in whom there is hope, and the only one whom can cleanse you, and the only one in whom there is the power every day to put down and to mortify and to keep in check so that the new man and the life of Christ reigns within us. That's the power. The power of Jesus, be thou clean. The power is that we know in principle it's a perfect cleansing. And in reality, as I live out of the gospel of grace in who this Christ is to me, I fight it. I put it down. I turn from it. I mortify it. And when I know that sin, I lay it at the foot of the cross, which becomes my continual motivation and strength to continue the battle against the leprosy of sin which is within. That's the power of the gospel message as we hear and receive the word of Christ tonight. And it's the power to give us that final hope, that final hope that we need to have, that what we have in principle now, but yet have the reality of the remains within one day will be a reality of it being gone. That hope is that day when God brings us home to heaven. Then the leprosy is gone for good. Then what was in principle now will be the reality in experience. The moment that Jesus takes us home to heaven and strips us of that old man. In that moment, we experience this reality of perfect cleansing through the work of Jesus Christ alone. Hear the word of Jesus tonight. See the heart of Jesus tonight. Experience the touch of Jesus tonight in the message of grace and who He is to us who are sinners. Beloved, we end on a sober note. And this concerns the aftermath. The aftermath of what we read in verses 43, 44, and 45. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze it abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. I will be honest, at this point in the text, I massively wrestled with this. It's one of those things where you read it and you say, it can't be. How can it be? What is going on here? I struggled with it. And this is where the Lord led me in wrestling and grappling with what's going on here. Undoubtedly, the leper came to Jesus. The text is clear. The parallel passage is clear. He worshipped him. He humbled himself before him. He knew who he was as the Savior and the healer. And so I don't question that part of it. It's this, and I can't get away around what we read in the passage. Jesus told this man, he said very clearly, this is what you need to do now. The word is very clear. It's two things. He straightly charged him. This is a directive to him. This is what you need to do now. Verse 44, don't say anything to anyone. And number two, go your way. Go to the priest, offer the sacrifice of cleansing. Don't say anything, but go to the temple, offer the sacrifice, and be declared clean by the priest. Showing, by the way, that Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but fulfill the law. Still in the old dispensation here, only when the Spirit would be poured out would we transition to the new dispensation as Jesus fulfilled all those ceremonial laws. But at this time, still under that, tells him, go. Don't say anything and go. And this is the struggle. We read very simply that he didn't listen. Verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much, to blaze abroad the matter. And this was the effect of it. Jesus couldn't any more openly enter the city, and he had to go to the desert places. Why did Jesus say to him, don't tell him anyone? He said that partly because when the word gets out, he no longer is able to preach the gospel. And this is what the man did. It was a blatant, this is how I read it. I can't read it any other way. It was a blatant disobedience to what Jesus told him to do. To the end that it hindered even Jesus' ability to go into the cities and to preach the gospel as he went to do. I say again, it's a somber, sober note to end on. But then the more you think about it, the more you realize how much we need the warning that comes out of this. And the warning that comes out of this is, how quickly can we go and do our own thing, even after we hear and know and experience the cleansing work of God in Jesus Christ. A testament, really, to the power of that indwelling sin that still remains. And how we need to hear the word of Jesus. Now, this is what it means. And take that word seriously and strive to walk in thankful obedience to the word of Jesus Christ. Yes, it was natural for this man to do this. Everything natural about it. He was just healed. And he goes out and he says what he does and he does what he does. But it was clearly at this time in disobedience to the direct word of Jesus to him. And so what we take from this very simply is the resolve that we need to leave with. As we know and experience and hear the wonder of God's grace in Jesus to cleanse us, the resolve in our hearts and the continuing power of Christ's Spirit in us, so that we don't walk out these doors in blatant disobedience to the word of Jesus. But we walk out these doors tonight and we say, what does it mean to serve Jesus, to obey Jesus, to love Jesus? And to pray to God and to seek the strength of God, not to follow in this example, but to follow the other example of thankful obedience. And so we're warned by this. That's what I take away from it. We're warned by this, the ease and the quickness with which we can be here. We can hear it, we can know it, we can experience it, but then go do our own thing. Let's not do our own thing. Let's do what the Lord tells us to do, and generally tells us to do in the interest of His gospel work. What He did hindered Jesus in His gospel work. What we want to do in obedience to Jesus is that which encourages gospel work and the coming of Jesus' kingdom, which, ironically, from a certain perspective, is to do the very thing that He did at that time. It was what He was not supposed to do in light of Jesus' earthly ministry. But for us, it's this very thing. Not to draw the attention to self, but to blaze it around so that others are led to see Jesus not as the miracle worker who heals from leprosy, that was the issue here, but who see Jesus as the wonder of God's grace, in whom there is the healing from all of our sin. May God use His word tonight to that end as we seek to follow Him in this week. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this message of the work of Jesus Christ. We pray that we might believe it, and now that we might live in light of it. Help us to live out of it all the days of our life, to be very conscious and deliberate. So easily we can walk in wayward ways, sometimes even thinking that we're doing the right thing when it's the wrong thing, but make it so that we are very conscious when we go to work tomorrow, when we're with our friends tomorrow, when we're in our marriages tomorrow, when all that we do tomorrow and in this week, we want to do it as those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and are thankful for Him. In His name do we pray. Amen.